With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
In the NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and yet that's something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
An MF-er out there. Indeed. He is Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good, guys. I missed you in that little week we didn't talk. Thought maybe we were breaking up.
Hell no. No, better than that. Come on now. Now, there's all sorts of drama regarding what Joe Burrow hasn't yet said, where some are saying, look, if you say I want to be a Bengal and it's cool and being a Bengal is just fine, just say it. Just end the questioning. Just end any of the idea that maybe there could be some looming power play here. Before we get to the other quarterbacks in the draft, how do you see the top guy?
Yeah, well, Burrow is the top guy, and I'm with you. So I think that he could end all this speculation by saying, hey, I'm cool being a Bengal. And I've actually seen one quote where he did say, I'm just going to be happy to play football wherever I get drafted. But I think you could end a lot of the speculation by, I have a podcast, I do it 3 times a week. He can come on anytime he wants, and we'll talk about this. But so I think he could end that. I think he is the clear-cut top guy. If Tua Tagovailoa had not had two high ankle sprains and a hip fracture in the last 2 years, I think we would be having a serious debate about who the top quarterback in this class is. But those are real issues, and those are real concerns. And so when you hear things like, maybe the Miami Dolphins don't like Tua, this is the franchise that famously passed on Drew Brees for Dante Culpepper because of injury concerns. So there is some precedent here, even though new ownership and new front office. So I think with Tua, you know, we're all enamored with his quarterback ability, his touch, his accuracy, his vision, his ability to move and make plays. But the injuries are a legitimate, real concern. And until we hear medicals that aren't coming from Lee Steinberg, his agent, I think it's right to be a little skeptical. Thankfully, next week will be in Indianapolis, and those things will happen. I think after that, you can kind of, I know I've used this analogy with you guys before. It's kind of like ice cream. What flavor do you want? Justin Herbert is 6'6", 240 pounds. He looks like a quarterback right out of Central Casting, big right arm. He can move around, but he's a one-read quarterback who struggled against good defenses in the Pac-12, and a good defense in the Pac-12 is like the worst defense in the SEC. So I think you have room to worry about him. I think he's more of a two-year project than he is a draft and plug-in guy. Jordan Love at Utah State looked great in 2018. His head coach goes to Texas Tech. He loses all his receivers, and he falls apart. He throws 17 interceptions. So I think decision-making from Jordan Love's a question to where, again, a guy you would love to see drafted by someone like the Saints at the end of the first round, he can sit for a year and learn instead of being thrown into the fire. And then you have the two Georgia dudes, Jacob Eason, who ended his career at Washington, and Jake Fromm. And they both, to me, are players that the NFL is moving away from because neither has great mobility. Fromm moves around better than Eason. Eason has a better arm. But neither guy is going to give you enough of a run threat. You know, you guys have Trubisky there. Neither player is as athletic as Mitch Trubisky. And you've seen, you know, firsthand what kind of issues can come up there.
I'm glad you said injuries plural with Tua, because we're fixating on this, the hip injury. But when teams are talking about a propensity, saying these are soft tissue, lower body injuries plural, and it came up. You mentioned the Saints. We were talking about Taysom Hill. He sees himself as a franchise quarterback. We're just looking at his history that when he plays a lot, he has season-ending injuries. It's just something you have to be concerned about here. And all the MRI machines will be lined up. They'll all be there, and they'll all have widely varying opinions. And it's still unsettled science as to what it means to be prone to some of these things, correct?
Yeah, and you know what? I like Lee Steinberg. He's really nice to me. He's been really helpful in my career. I mean, the guy's Jerry Maguire, right? You got to like that. But he's biased, and the doctor that they're going to see in New York is biased. 32 NFL team doctors are unbiased, and so that's the medical that I need to see. I'm not going to read the CAT scan. I'm not a doctor, but I want to hear from those team doctors, the same doctors that said, you know what, Jalen Smith might never walk again. One team, the team whose doctor did the surgery, thought Jalen Smith could play football again. They drafted him in the second round. It's worked out for them, but you need that level of skepticism, not a guy who's, you know, been paid to do the surgery and is probably lining up clients left and right off the surgery, not the agent who's going to get a cut of the player's salary for the next 40 years. I want someone who says, can this guy not only play football for us in 2020, can he play football for us in 2025 or 2027? Because if you draft a quarterback in the first round, that's, in most cases, you're hoping at least a seven-year commitment, if not longer. And so I think with Tua, we have to dig into the things that Alabama did to keep him on the field that maybe weren't great for his long-term health. That last ankle procedure he had before the LSU game, I think a lot of eyebrows could be raised and a lot more work could be done digging into why that happened and he was allowed to get back on the field so quickly. Now, I'm not suggesting the ankle led to the hip, but I think you're right, Dan, in that, you know, guys who are broken and injured in college tend to be broken and injured in the NFL. You know, we can go across the board with guys who are injured a lot in college. You don't get into the NFL where everyone is bigger, faster, stronger, and a better football player and magically become a healthier player.
Matt, how many quarterbacks are in the top two tiers? How much does that stand to change from the combine?
Yeah, I have four in the top two tiers. I would say that Joe Burrow is in a tier by himself.
Fair.
An injured Tua is kind of the top of the second tier. I think that you could put Justin Herbert and Jordan Love in there. I will tell you, I have it ranked. Joe Burrow is number two overall on my board. Tua is kind of floating there at number five overall, but again, waiting on medicals. And then Justin Herbert is at 19. Jordan Love is at 20. So that's kind of how I have it separated out right now. And I think with Justin Herbert, I was talking to an NFL quarterback about this because there were some things I didn't quite understand about that Oregon offense. And he said, you know, if Justin goes to a one-read offense, if he goes to someone who's like a Sean McVay disciple, where they basically say, throw the ball here, he's going to be pretty good at that. If he goes somewhere like what Patrick Mahomes is asked to do in Kansas City, he's going to be lost because he doesn't have that quick processor where he's able to think and see things on the fly right now. Now, that could be developed. That's why I think he's a player that you would really like to sit for a year or two. And the same with Jordan Love. You know, you look at guys who throw a lot of interceptions in college, you generally throw a lot in the NFL too. And so for Love, it's trying to figure out was his, you know, sophomore tape in 2018 or his junior tape in 2019, which guy are we getting? Deshaun Watson threw a lot of picks his last year in college, and he, you know, didn't the first 2 years. And we've seen, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. So I think there is some type of precedent for when you evaluate a quarterback, you can't just look at the numbers. You got to look at what they had around them. So when you lose Matt Wills, when you lose all your receivers, you start to press to make things happen. Is that why you're throwing picks, or are you throwing picks because you're not accurate or because you can't read the field? For me, with Jordan Love, I think he forced a lot of those mistakes in 2019.
I would guess it kind of sounds like you're more likely that a quarterback drops out of that second tier than one jumps into it.
Yeah, I don't see Jacob Eason jumping in. I don't see Jake Fromm jumping in. I heard Bucky Brooks said, and I love this, that the NFL right now, they want scorers at quarterback, not shooters. Jacob Eason would be a shooter. He's a guy who's 6'5", 235. He's going to stand in the pocket, and he's going to rifle the ball all over the field, you know, like Drew Bledsoe. That doesn't work in the NFL anymore. You know, even Mitch, even Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to be able to move to win. You don't have to be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but you have to be able to move to win. Jacob Eason can't move well enough. And so I think there might be teams like Tampa Bay where Bruce Arians is just going to say, hey, stay in the pocket, throw the ball 50 yards down the field. That's going to work. But I feel like the teams that like Jacob Eason or like Jake Fromm are going to be fewer and far between. You know, like if you miss it on Teddy Bridgewater, you're going to really like Jake Fromm in the draft, you know, because he's smart. He's accurate. Another player who lost a lot of what he had around him. You can hear Georgia and think, oh my God, all the talent he had around him. But he actually lost a lot at tight end, at wide receiver, at running back. And that affected him this year on top of the fact that Kirby Smart is not, you know, known as an offensive genius. So I think with Jake Fromm, you at least feel like You did it for 3 years in SEC. You're not very big. You don't have the strongest arm, but you're at least pretty dang smart, and we're able to see that and understand it better.
With the combine coming up, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. Maybe I have. I'm always curious now, because we know so much about these guys before the combine even begins, how much expectation setting is there? It's almost like debate performance or primary performance, where people around a player may say, you know, sort of like whether it's a 40 time or whether it's performance in a certain drill, where they know how to prepare the people watching him to not have something look glaring.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, I try to do a good job of that as, you know, as I can on my platform with three podcasts and three articles a week, and you can't spend all your time yelling that. I hope the NFL Network does a good job on their telecast of explaining that. You know, it's funny, every year people get mad when running backs don't run 4.3, and there just aren't many people walking the planet who run a 4.3. So like a running back who runs a 4.4 or 4.5 or God forbid a 4.6 can still be really good. And I think this year, you know, we're going to see Henry Ruggs is going to run in the 4.2s. If he doesn't break the record, there will be people disappointed. There will be people on Twitter, I guarantee this, trash Henry Ruggs because he doesn't break the 4.22 record. And so I think when you look at Jerry Jeudy, Jerry told me at the Super Bowl he was going to run a low 4.3. If he doesn't, then I think, okay, people are like, well, he lied. Well, no, he's just a kid. He's 21 years old, and he probably got nervous and didn't run as well in Indy as he has been on the track wherever he's testing. So I think with skill players, we really do have to manage expectations. And I think those of us who have national platforms as draft analysts also need to explain that some of these drills don't matter. You know, Orlando Brown Jr. had probably the worst combine performance any offensive tackle could have, and he's one of the best young right tackles in football. So, you know, if an offensive lineman only reps out 8 benches, well, let's point to his 37-inch arms. Or, you know, if the guy runs a 5.6 40, let's point out that he's 370 pounds and focus on the things that matter. I know as the combine becomes more prominent, it's good news for people like me, but also like we got to do a better job explaining what matters most here: the medicals, the interviews, and then the workouts. And the workouts, the level of importance is almost flipped from the hype. Like the 40 doesn't matter that much. The bench press really doesn't matter. But they're the ones that we understand. It's easy to you know, sit on your couch with a Bud Light and evaluate a guy running a straight line and know that, oh, 4.4 is fast. It's a lot harder to, you know, for the average fan to dig in and say, okay, what is 3 cone time? What does that mean? What am I looking for? So I hope as the combine becomes more popular, people will, you know, take the effort to understand that. And the people who are broadcasting it will take the effort to explain those things too.
So, Matt, I'm looking around at free agency coming up here in a little bit and realizing that the Bears are fairly stuck with Charles Leno and Bobby Massey on either side at tackles. And I'm thinking, you know, as you see guys kind of get snapped up or re-signed and whatnot, is it safe to say that right now, and probably for the foreseeable future, the only way to get a premier tackle, either left or right, is to draft and develop it?
I do think so. I mean, you can look at, you know, Nate Solder got some pretty good money on the free agent market. That hasn't worked out. You know, and Andrew Whitworth a couple of years, that did work out, but he was like 34, 35 years old. So I think in order to really develop or have a long-term answer, it is that draft and develop. And that's why Jack Conklin, who's 26 years old, is going to get a ton of money on the market. Yeah. And I'll say this, the Titans misplayed that. A guy who'd been hurt, you know, he's all pro as a rookie, hurt for 2 years. They don't pick up the fifth-year option. Boom, he plays like an all-pro again this year. So I think there's going to be cases like that where, you know, there might be a Jack Conklin that hits the market as a right tackle, but you're going to worry about that a little bit. Or, you know, there's going to be guys who, you know, like Jermaine Ifedi, who was a miss in the first round. Do you really want to, you know, bet Mitch Trubisky on a guy like that? So I do think that that's why we're going to see a run on tackles. We're going to see 5 or 6 tackles drafted in the first round because you're willing to take a chance on a Josh Jones out of Houston and try to develop him a little bit. You're willing to take a chance on Mekhi Becton, who has amazing physical attributes, but a little bit of raw technique, or, you know, to swing the bat on an Austin Jackson from USC. There's going to be a lot of tackles go earlier than they're ranked because of that, because it is a hard position to find, and there aren't many guys. Like, if you look at the best tackles in the NFL, they're all coming out of the first or early second round. I mean, you know, even in the Super Bowl, there were 3 tackles in the Super Bowl drafted in the first round, and the other one was a second-round pick. So it's just you have to find those positions early.
Are you scouting the XFL at all? And what are people saying about guys like Cardale Jones and some of the other names that we're hearing?
I will be honest, I am not, because this time of year is just so busy with our Draft 400 project, where, you know, I have to grade and rank and write scouting reports on 400 guys, myself and two assistants. So my weekends are pretty much tied up there. But, I mean, I'm aware of it. I think everyone's kind of waiting to see, you know, more than two games, kind of a flash in the pan. You know, with like the AAF, there was a lot of excitement. A lot of those guys who got signed, I honestly can't think of anyone who made like a big impact. So I think there's a little bit of a wait and see, especially with right now, everyone in the NFL is focused on either the CBA or free agency. And so I think those pro scouts who would normally be texting, you know, about the XFL, they're worried about free agency and setting up their free agent board right now. So I think we could see something heat up a little bit, you know, in this dead period between the combine and the draft. But I would be surprised if there's, you know, a long line of teams waiting to sign XFL guys. Well,
just out of curiosity, how much better would the league have to be to cut through the work that you've got to do and that you hear scouts doing? I wonder, like, is there anything, any level of play that would be like, oh, Matt, you got to stop doing your top 400 here. You got to get yourself back into some XFL work. Or is there just no way that would happen?
Yeah, that would probably have to come down from the CEO of Bleacher Report. Like, if Howard Mittman sends me a text, he's like, hey, why aren't you covering the XFL, you idiot? Guess what I'm doing Saturday. So I think right now people see the XFL as, you know, deficient in a lot of positions. So it's going to allow, like, we know that Cardale Jones is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in this league, or, you know, that PJ Walker had some playmaking ability. But you kind of knew that already. So I think until the level of competition across the board rises up a little bit, I don't think we're going to see, you know, teams falling over to make Cardale Jones their number two quarterback even.
Do you like the NFL's new playoff proposal, cut a week off of the exhibition season, add a 17th game, and add one more playoff team, giving out only one bye to the team with the best record?
You know, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care. But I will say this. I don't think a league that can say they're worried about player safety can talk about adding more games. And then, all, like, just be honest. Hey, it's about the money. We can sell one more game a week. This is a league that I heard Colin Cowherd say this yesterday. This is a league that they don't negotiate their TV prices. They just tell you this is what you're paying for the games, and we all pay it. And so now, hey, one more regular season game. Oh, and more playoff games. Like, they're printing money. Jerry Jones, you know, needs another $350 million yacht, and that's cool. Like, I applaud you. You guys are innovative. Be successful. Make all the money you want. But just don't lie to us about player safety, because it's clear that you don't care if this is the path you're going down. So more football is always good, but, you know, I have been doing this long enough, and I have too many friends who play to act like it doesn't matter. You know, there's just a lot more injuries, a lot more hits that these guys are going
to
take.
Matt, appreciate you. Get back to the damn list already.
I'm on it, guys. Don't worry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.